This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. On a bench, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Get on PharrellOnTheBench.com. You got everything Thursday, Wake at NC State, Panthers Steelers, Friday, Fresno Boise, Saturday, Notre Dame, Florida State, Sunday, you got Detroit, Chicago, and Dallas, Philly, and primetime at night. PharrellOnTheBench.com has everything college basketball now as well. Sign up today. So the Pharrell on the Bets podcast is out every day, Tuesday through Sunday. It's like a half-hour sports betting show. Everybody's digging it. Subscribe free, get it every day on iTunes, Google Play, or WestwoodOnePodcast.com, and follow me on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. Check it out. A new one drops tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. It's episode 63 of Pharrell on the Bets. I just wanted to say, Mafia, tomorrow, is that our boy Danny Hurley up at UConn, right? Is he's coaching the Huskies now? They open with Morehead State. Do you think that he's going to do a good job with the Huskies? Do you think he'll turn their program around like I do?
Eventually, I do. I think he's kind of behind the eight ball with the way things have been going for them the last couple of years. I don't think they're getting the same level of recruit because they haven't been good. But, you know, he has a good reputation up there from what he did at that smaller school in Rhode Island, and I'm sure he'll get him going in the next couple of years.
Carver High, do you think he'll do well in UConn?
They'll be back.
They'll be back.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. They're going to – I'm not saying they're going to get back to, you know, Jim Calhoun levels, but they're going to be back from what they've been the last few years.
Do you think that he'll get along with Gino?
I don't think that matters. I don't think that makes a difference.
Gino's bigger there. He's the man at UConn.
I guess.
In a big way. You have no idea, apparently. That guy's huge. At that school, have you ever seen anything like a women's team that sells out the arena for the games?
He wasn't when Calhoun was there.
I mean, this guy, he's won more national championships. Like, the rivalry he had with Pat Summitt, he kicked her ass, too. He's beaten everybody.
He has. How many people have watched?
Yeah, you don't think anyone watches the women's Husky games?
I mean, people watch, but not to the levels of everything else.
It's crazy, that program that they have.
And they destroy everybody every year.
So, 855-212-4227. John in Staten Island, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Scotty, you are the man.
You're the man.
Could I get a pint of Stella with a shot of Patron back up?
Can we get him set up? He needs a beverage before he goes to bed. He's very busy. There you go.
Yeah, Scotty, I lived in the Bronx. I got him jumping around, man. I lived in the Bronx, man. I remember the Steinbrenner years. I'm 51, man. I'm a Mets fan, but he was the man. Come on, man. I was on freaking Seinfeld.
He was the man, without a doubt. So you had a parlay with the Penguins tonight that got ruined because they lost?
Scotty, they've been freaking killing me, bro. I'm doing pretty good with my – I hit the two colleges today. I didn't know who was going to win. I just said, you know what, Miami? I got to play – I like Miami's offense, and Ohio's just been blowing everybody out. I said, watch Miami's game. Gonna cover tonight.
Oh, so you hit that Miami Ohio game over Ohio. That was
Miami, Ohio.
That was a big upset.
I bet them straight. I bet Northern
Illinois.
I went over there by Maryland today. I met them. I bet them both. I had a nice little parlay with the Penguins.
Did you like the sports book over there? Did you like it?
What's that?
Did you like the sports book there?
I was going to Monmouth, man, but then I said, let me try FanDuel. FanDuel's like more state of the arts, man.
Right.
time bookmakers, man. They've always from early. They've been around over 100 years, but I like FanDuel a little better. They did a little better job, man.
Mafia, you said that the best one you've been in is that Ocean Resort down in Atlantic City. That sportsbook, the William Hill sportsbook there, is phenomenal.
It is. I mean, I haven't been to the Monmouth or the FanDuel yet, to be fair, but going and seeing what they had at Ocean, I can't see them being even close. I mean, the money they put down there, redoing that and making that giant, and they got the double bars. It's awesome. So huge TVs all around. It's the best.
It's just like some of the
better ones. Better than some of the ones I've seen in Vegas.
Better than those.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I want to do shows down there. All right, John, good hearing from you. I got to tell you, I'd love to do that national championship game down there. I wouldn't mind that. Like, you know, the football game when it's played, what? Didn't you say it was like January 7th at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara that Monday night? Maybe we can make that happen. Maybe we can get the William Hill people excited about it. We could do a national championship show from Atlantic City.
I think we should. I think even if they don't want it, we should just show up and do it anyway.
Show up there with no prior approval. Just show up and put a table up and start doing a show.
Let's do it.
I like that. Forcing them to have a remote at the...
Just commandeer the upstairs.
Forcing them to do it. Maybe they'd let me do some Caribbean ISDN shows from the islands during the holiday season, Mafia.
That'd be some nice little vacation time. I'm all for it.
I'd be down there rocking it, laying on the beach all day, then maybe doing a show or something from the...
Might be a little hard to sell the bosses on that one, but you know.
We want to do a show from the Caribbean at a casino down there in the islands. What do you think, boss? Boss man? You the man? What do you think? So, Le'Veon Bell appears in Pittsburgh, but no word on his, if any, contact with the Steelers. He's a member of LA Fitness who spent the offseason working out there. He left Miami. He hasn't signed anything. He must report by Tuesday. Then there was a story that was out about how the CBA has changed and there's new rules for franchise tag people. Is that true? They said he was at this LA Fitness club in North Pittsburgh last night, and then the manager there confirmed that. Pictures, videos circulated of him in the club. And 110% Le'Veon, blah, 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 blah. The deal is James Conner has produced a total of 1,085 yards and 10 touchdowns in 8 games. He's done the job. That's all there is to it. Does anyone really believe that this guy's not going to go sign that tender before the deadline and get his money? He's not going to lose all $14.5 million, I can tell you that much.
You would think he wouldn't, but then there's all these stories about, like, that it wouldn't really, I mean, he's going to lose that money, obviously, but that it, they couldn't tag him. If they did, it would be the third time, not the second, so there's no way they would do it because it would be over $20 million.
Well, if he wasn't going to play for the Steelers, why would he go back to Pittsburgh if he was loving life in Miami so much?
I would agree. It makes no sense to go back to the cold weather when you're sitting in Miami riding jet skis and going to rap concerts.
Right, like, why would you go to Pittsburgh and just for fun to watch them? You know, you're not on the team, you're not playing. I mean, why would he do that? He's going back there to play football. That's all there is to it. And, I mean, the season's already over. I mean, you know, the season, the most important stretch of the season is obviously the month of December, right? So you get those last 4 games, whatever, leading into the postseason. And that's what he's going to be there for, the end of November and all of December. And then when they finish up, he'll go play in the playoffs, and they'll either win or they won't. It's that simple. And then he's going to get a fat deal and leave Pittsburgh, and that'll be that. Given everything going on with the Ravens and all that you see, the changes that are possibly down the road, there's talk of Lamar Jackson. Our boy Jason Lockenfora of the NFL Today on CBS said that he thinks that Lamar Jackson might make his first NFL start coming out of the bye in Week 11. Mafia, do you believe that the Ravens will move on from Joe Flacco and give Jackson his look? And do you believe that John Harbaugh is going to get fired in Baltimore?
There's a possibility of him getting fired. I don't think it's happening in the end, during the season. The same thing with Jackson. I mean, Jackson could definitely take over next year, you know, a la Mahomes. But if he's going to get a start, I don't think it's going to be at this point with them still, you know, in this race. They're a game back, or I guess a little bit more now. But, I mean, they're one loss back, I mean, one win back. So they're not going to get rid of Flacco at this point. When it's 2-3 games back and they're out of the playoff run, then maybe they give Lamar Jackson a chance to say, let's see what we have, especially if they've gotten rid of Harbaugh at that point. But I don't see him leaving till the end of the season. I don't see Jackson getting in there till week 15, 16, 17, not coming out in week 11 while they're still in the playoff hunt.
I think they've handled the entire situation poorly.
Why is that?
I really do, because they were playing really well at the beginning of this year, and I'm not saying this is the reason why they started playing bad, but you know, Flacco's out there, he was playing pretty decent, and then every couple plays he's either getting pulled off the field or he's got to go line up as a wide receiver while Lamar, and I think Lamar Jackson is very talented, and I got no problem if you want to play Lamar Jackson, but if you want to play him, then go and play him, okay? This stupid thing that they do, and they're not the first team to ever come up with this concept. Teams have done it in the past,
right,
and it never works out. Where they got Flacco playing, and then three plays later, here comes Lamar Jackson to run up the middle. Or how about last week when he's throwing him passes out there on the side? Like, didn't we have this whole thing last year where the mom and everybody said he's a quarterback, he doesn't do anything else?
Right.
And now he's out there running routes?
But did you see the pass that Flacco didn't throw to him when he was wide open in the end zone?
Ridiculous. I think they've messed up that whole situation. If I was Flacco, I'd be upset. Lamar Jackson should be upset. Harbaugh's going to be gone at the end of the year, and Flacco probably should go too.
Mafia, your quarterback Sam Darnold has a foot injury. He was in a walking boot, and he's not going to play now, and he won't play in Sunday's home game against the Bills. That changes everything. And then I want to ask you about that. What's the deal with Sam Darnold? And I want to ask him about the GoFundMe trying to get Nate Peterman to retire in Buffalo. The fans are trying to buy him out so he can go leave. They don't want him there anymore. Mafia, what about Darnold?
Honestly, it might change it for the better for the Jets in this case. I like Darnold as the future. You know, he's working through some things. He's going to try to figure out. I'm hoping, you know, he's obviously not to that level. I'm not expecting that level, but, you know, a la Peyton Manning, where he led the league in interceptions his first year and then learns from it, gets better, and becomes an awesome quarterback. He's having his struggles, so right now, with the way he's just throwing the ball away, who knows, maybe Josh McCown playing for a game might help him out, might get him a win, because if McCown was playing in Miami last week, maybe they get that win if he doesn't, you know, because Darnold threw four picks, and the only one that ended up in the end zone for the Dolphins was a pick six. There was no offense for them at all. The only reason they won is because of a pick six from him. So the first Dolphin game he threw away, the second one, there's been other games here or there. Maybe McCown for a game, let the kid rest, and maybe, you know, watch a little extra tape is better for him.
Mafia, talking about Darnold. Now, what about you? What do you think of your fans turning on Peterman and starting a GoFundMe?
Well, it's a couple of idiots. I mean, it's just, it's not.
It's trending, though.
It's not the entire fan base. It's a couple of morons. It's stupid. Makes no sense.
But you want him gone, don't you?
Everybody wants him gone, but it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. A GoFundMe to get the guy to retire? The most ridiculous thing. You got to be joking me. Where do people come up with this stuff?
Well,
go find something better to do.
They had a garage planning meeting. They got together. They smoked a lot of bowls, and they drank a lot of Natty Light. And
a
they
few
came
concussions
up,
from some table jumps. They came up with this plan.
Right, a lot of people involved in this one. $107 in the kitty so far. So they're doing really well building the fun. So good job.
Is it really worth that much more?
$1.17.
Honestly, have you ever seen something so stupid?
No, but your reaction.
The guy
was,
has no business being in the NFL. We all know this.
Starting
a GoFundMe to get him to retire.
I think the reaction by you is better than the terrible GoFundMe.
I'm tired of the Peterman stuff. This is exactly what I'm talking about, what I said the other night. The embarrassment that they have caused the franchise because of them playing this guy.
All right, we have the MVP odds in the NFL. Nate Peterman not doing well in the MVP department.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I just want to say, Mafia, what did you think of the Pharrell Ballers victory this evening? Any response from you after a tough battle against a team that's much improved?
I thought it was a great overall team game. We all played together. Everyone contributed, both ends of the court, offense and defense, rebounds, scoring. We all, you know, cutting to the basket at the right times, sharing the ball. It was a great all-around team win.
Nice team win. I think that team we beat, in our history, literally, we've never, frankly, lost to them, knock on wood. but they have changed so much from what they used to be. I think they're actually better now.
I agree. They're a much better team, a much deeper team, a much more well-rounded team, because before it was pretty much a one- or two-man show where everyone was hocking the ball, and these other guys were kind of just standing out there like, you know, well, am I ever going to touch it? But this team is, you know, kind of a younger mirror image of us in certain ways about sharing it, moving it, and everyone getting involved.
Yeah, I think so. We had a big game tonight, and the Pharrell Ballers were winners again. This is it's customary now that we get it done. We do lose games, though. Mavi, were you excited that I did not get in any fights or that I did not have problems with the referees? And those are two of the refs that I have most of the problems with.
Oh, they're absolutely terrible. Took away both my nice blocks.
But I did, and one of mine.
Yeah, both, you know, clean all around for both of us.
I had a huge swat at the rim, this dude. I just absolutely swatted him all the way to Texas.
I was very happy that you did not get in fights. It was nice to have a night off of having to break up, you know, hostilities from you.
Well, we're playing that team next week again that I got in a fight with. You think that, but that wasn't us playing them.
Doesn't matter. You're still going to get into
it. So you're predicting another fight next week.
I think you're going to be more conscious to not let it go too far this time, but you're going to get in some kind of verbal altercation at the very least.
Carver High's not.
I mean, honestly, it shouldn't be you're predicting another fight. You should be predicting whether you don't have a fight.
That's what I'm saying.
Because let's just take it this way. Let's take it in month blocks. You know, you play every Wednesday. So if there's four Wednesdays in a month, for the most part, you get into a fight in at least three out of four of them. So that's a 75% clip per month that you're getting in a fight.
Right.
So the question next week should be, will you go 2 weeks in a row not getting into a fight? That should really be the...
This is groundbreaking stuff by you. I predict that I will not get in a fight next week.
Because it's more likely the chance that you are. I mean, that's...
I have found, as I told you, Buddhism. And I am now going to a different place, a temple, to find peace and harmony and what is it called? Meditation.
Serenity.
Serenity and meditation.
You're going to find nirvana.
And patchouli oil and reefer, where I can soothe my mind.
No, that's incense, not weed there.
Oh, incense and K-Funk Swiss cheese, chronic funk. Jeff in Baltimore, Chime City, baby, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Swell, man. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
I wanted to say one thing really quick. Do you think the NBA refs look like they should be on Star Trek with those uniforms they wear?
A little bit, man. A little bit.
All right.
We got a clean house here in Baltimore, man. Flacco over his last 96 games is under 500. He's up there in age. He looks like he can't move no more, and he never was really a move back. The team, the way it's constituted now, just not going anywhere. And other than the four-game stretch he had in the playoffs in the Super Bowl that year, when have you ever turned on the TV or seen any six-game stretch of the Ravens and said, man, Flacco has been tearing it up? He has two good games, then he has three bad ones. He misses open receivers, bad decisions. It's just time to clean house. If they keep Flacco and get rid of the coaching staff, maybe they catch lightning in a bottle.
Didn't they just give this guy a boatload of money? I mean, Joe Flacco, didn't they give him a while ago? So it's all paid off now, and he's pretty much...
I think there's a year or two left. And I think if they get rid of the coach and keep Flacco, they might have the Buck Showalter effect like they have with the Orioles, same roster. Huge improvement just with a breath of fresh air. But I truly think that if they lose one more game, if we lose another division game, the season's over anyway. Put the kid Jackson in there, and let's see what we have, man. I love the show. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, brother. Who do they play this week? That's what I want to know. Are they off this week? Is that what it boils down to? I don't see them playing. They got a bye.
Yeah, they're on the bye this week. They play the Bengals coming out of the bye at home.
They better win that game or people are going to start shredding them when you think about it. Ryan in Portland.
How you doing, Pharrell? Can I get a shot of whiskey, please, sir?
Absolutely.
And I shit you, dude.
Oh, check out, dude.
You know, I just want to talk about Carver High's reaction to that Bills. You know, come on now. I'm gonna donate $5 just to get more reaction out of him.
I love it.
I thought it was hilarious.
His reaction was better than any Bills game this year. So he was. That was the best
I'm sick of the Peterman stuff. I'm sick of it.
But the reaction was better than any game they've played.
This is why they need to just completely just send him home. Get him off the roster. He shouldn't be a member of the football team anymore. He shouldn't be in the building anymore. Because this garbage like this, GoFundMe to get him to retire, it's just stupid. It makes the small pocket of fans who are doing it look stupid. It makes the organization look stupid for keeping him around. Just enough with this stuff already.
And then their coach is always like, we're going to do what's best for the team.
Oh, we're going to do what's best for the team. I got to look at the tape. I got to do it. Just stop.
All right,
stop.
When we come back, odds to win the MVP. Mahomes the favorite, then Breeze, Gurley, Rodgers at 3-4-1. How is that possible? Brady, Goff, Wentz, and Rivers, Kamara, Cam Newton. I'm going to leave it at that. They still have Watson, Cousins, Thielen, and Luck. They're not winning the MVP. So who do you think is going to win the MVP? And we have a lot happening here tonight. We want to hear from you. Call the show, 855-212-4CBS.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So did Boris really say that he didn't want to talk to the new agent, the new GM of the Mets because he was an agent?
Exactly what he said.
Said he doesn't want to deal with him.
He said, I'll deal with Fred and Jeff and Omar. You know, I'll deal with all the other guys there.
So he obviously is not amused by the fact that a baseball agent became the GM.
No, not at all.
Do you think everybody else thinks that way of him, too?
I think that there's definitely a pocket of people, whether it be national baseball media, agents, whatever, who feel that this is kind of a joke.
So what do you think of the people that are saying that Calipari, that it was a new low for Kentucky and they're bashing him for losing to Duke?
I don't think you can really bash Calipari. I mean, he lost a game. He played a better team and they kicked his team's ass. Like, what is he supposed to do? Like, he's going to probably win. They're going to win the SEC this year, right?
That won't be enough for him.
That's not enough. I know that that's not enough for him. I'm saying it's a regular season game that doesn't matter. Wait for the tournament.
Do you think Rick Ankiel will make it back as a pitcher?
No, I don't. I mean, when is that going to end? How many times have we got to go back to that? How old is Rick now?
We're going back to the well with Rick Ankiel. How many times does that happen? How old is he now? He's 39. He debuted in the majors at 19 as a pitching phenom.
So he was a pitcher.
He was a top prospect in all of baseball.
Came back as a hitter. He left. So now he's coming back as a pitcher again? Am I getting the timeline right?
In 99, 2000 combined, he was 11-8 with 3.46 ERA, 233 strikeouts. He was the runner-up for the 2000 NL Rookie of the Year. All signs pointed to him being a frontline starter for a long time if he could get his control in order, which he couldn't. He went the opposite direction and fell apart.
Especially in that playoff series against the Mets, right? What was that, 2000 NLCS?
2001, in 24 innings, he walked 25, hit three batters, uncorked five wild pitches. It got worse in the minors, where he threw 4 1/3 in AAA and walked, brace yourself, 17 hitters while throwing 12 wild pitches. After coming back from Tommy John, he was never able to get back on track. And then the last time we heard of him, he was an outfielder from 2007 to 13. He had 242 with 100 doubles, 74 home runs for the Cardinals, Royals, Braves, Nationals, Astros, and Mets. He threw 32 assists from the outfield. Dozens of runners not risking taking extra bases for a fear of being one of his victims. He hasn't played professionally since then, but now he's looking to come back as a relief pitcher for the Cardinals. Wow. Do you think every guy that is 39 or 40 should have a comeback again like Rick Ankiel is trying to make it back in the show?
I mean, what, do the Cardinals still owe money or something? I mean, why do why are they always first online to give Rick another shot?
Honestly.
Jeez. But look, good for him.
Is this what you would consider hot stove news?
Yeah, they haven't gotten any real, you know.
Who wins the NFL MVP? Let's talk about something that matters, the NFL Pain Day. Patrick Mahomes going to win it, Drew Brees, Todd Gurley, Aaron Rodgers. Do you think they'll give it to Brees at his age right now?
I think that if Mahomes has the same second half that he had in the first half, they'll probably give it to him.
Mahomes' team 8-1. So is Gurley, right?
Right.
So is Breeze.
They'll always give it to a quarterback. Listen, running back can absolutely win. I'm not saying Gurley can't win, but when a quarterback's having the kind of year that those guys are having, they're going to give it to
him. Gurley has 12 rushing touchdowns. He's leading the league in both total yards from scrimmage with 1230 and total touchdowns 16. But Mahomes leads the NFL with 2,900 passing yards and 29 touchdowns. Doesn't that just say it all when one guy has 12, the other guy has 29?
Right. No, you're 100% right. I think it's Mahomes right now. But let's see Mahomes continue on. I'm not going to say he's going to throw 50 touchdowns this year, but let's see him continue to have a really big second half.
So Adam Gase is saying that Tannehill is going to it looks like their goal is to have him play against the Colts. Now, I got to get this straight. So if I'm looking at the Dolphins, right, they're going to go with Osweiler again, correct?
This Sunday against the Packers, they're going to start Osweiler. Then they're on the bye. So they have a week off after that.
And then it's the Colts.
So the Colt game is actually November 25th.
So they got that and then a week off. And then so 14 days later, they'll play the Colts.
Right.
And they expect him to be playing that day.
They think that's when he'll make his return.
What do you think of that guy's, continuous injuries now? The knee and now this, the shoulder.
I think he's finished.
You think he's toast?
Yeah.
You think he's washed up?
Washed up, it's just he's always hurt now. I don't know how you could trust him.
Mavia, do you think Tannehill's days are over in Miami? Do you think they're going to give up on him?
Yeah, I think they are. I think this is a team that 2 years ago we're talking about, might they give up on this guy? Then he had a resurgence. And it was like, okay, well, then maybe he's finally found him. Maybe this is the franchise quarterback, and then he got hurt. And it's like, okay, well, it's a freak injury. He'll be back next year. And then they screwed up the whole injury situation with not getting surgery, and then he got it eventually, and then he'd go through a year of Cutler. Now he's hurt again. There's only so long that you're going to put up with this guy not being around when you need him the most, when he hasn't proven that he's worth waiting on. If this was a Peyton Manning, if this was, Breeze, if this was one of these guys who's a truly elite quarterback, yeah, you'll wait around for 2 years and try to see if you can get some more good years out of him because he might lead you to a title. Tannehill's not going to do that. They're going to move on.
So here's a story that the top three quarterbacks in the league have been Mahomes, Breeze, and Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Tampa Bay Bucks. I don't know if anyone's really believing that.
Well, here's why, because they do their stupid formula there, their QBR, whatever it is that they use. So they use a lot of analytics and mumbo-jumbo to find
to tell you
to
who's
find
the best.
Stuff. Right.
Okay, so the bottom three are Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen. Do you believe that they're the three worst quarterbacks in the league? No way. Eli Manning.
Peterman.
Says Eli Peterman. Well, Peterman didn't throw enough passes to qualify for that. There's a
just missed was Eli, Baker Mayfield. I don't think Baker Mayfield's been bad. Do you?
No, I don't.
Especially, all those guys that you listen at the bottom, Allen, Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, they're rookies. So, yeah, they might be bad, but this is the start of their career. We really have to worry about is if this is their fourth, fifth year, if this is a Flacco 10 years into his career and he's playing this bad.
So just so you know, some of the games, we got the Panthers and Steelers tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. I think this is going to be a great game. That line has shrunk down to 3.5.
I know you're excited for this one.
I am. I think, Steelers are, pretty good in prime time.
I think the Steelers win tomorrow.
You're on the Steelers?
I'm on the Steelers.
What about you, Mafia? Who are you on? You're going to go Carolina?
I think I'm going to go Carolina. The Steelers have been playing really well lately, but that defense hasn't shown me that they can stand up to the depth that they have on offense for the Panthers. I mean, there's so many weapons. You got Cam who could just run the ball if he wants to and run over
right.
You. Then you have McCaffrey who can catch it or run it. Then you have Olsen who's making one-handed catches. The guys are draped all over him. Their receivers can, they have some decent receivers. They're just so deep on offense and put up those points that I don't think the Steelers defense can hang with them.
I'll tell you what, their defense looked pretty tough against Baltimore, but then again, Baltimore has not looked good at all, and I think the Panthers are better than the Ravens, hands down.
And their defense didn't look good against Baltimore the game before that.
And I think Panthers' defense is very capable, and I think they're dangerous getting to the pocket. Peppers is still making plays. They have way more than that on defense than just Peppers. Keekly's still doing it. I was looking at another guy today. Didn't I send you a story that Sean Lee's injured again?
Out like a month.
How is this guy? Like, have you ever seen anything like that guy?
I keep sticking with them.
And he is just always injured. I mean, it is just automatic that the leaves are going to fall, you know, in the East, and that Sean Lee's going to fall in Dallas.
Seriously, yeah, I got to go look at the math because he must have missed more games than he's played in the last 5 years. And still, they keep putting him down there as like the stalwart of the defense, the guy's going to lead them when he's not there for half the season.
Right. It's crazy, right? Darren Sproles is going to return from his hamstring injury against the Cowboys. Do you think the Cowboys are going to get smoked by the Eagles, or do you think they'll show up after all the negative and they've lost 3 of 4?
I think they're going to get smoked.
Smoked? Smoked like a cigar. What do you think, Mafia?
I think it's going to be a close game because even though they got smacked by the Titans last week, they started to show a little bit with Cooper in there. The offense was going a little bit better. And let's be honest, the Eagles are not what they were last year. They're not putting up a ton of points like they were last year running through people. Their defense is strong. I think it's going to be a tight game. Maybe a late touchdown wins it.
So Bruce Irvin ended up with the Falcons. That's where he's from. His hometown is in Atlanta. That's where he went after Seattle got rid of him. And I told you about everything else. I want to get into Boris a little bit again because his press conference, he started talking about the declining attendance in baseball. He blames teams that they're not competitive and they're not spending money because of the dwindling crowds. That I thought baseball's always bragging about how many fans they have and their ratings and their sales and tickets and their crowds and sellouts. Aren't they always bragging about it? He said that LSU outdrew Miami Marlins and how bad that looks for the Marlins in baseball. Boris said the fans of Florida have certainly brought the MIA to Miami.
Well, it's chicken or the egg scenario. You know, like, are they not spending because no one's coming, or are they not coming because no team's spending? Which one is the cause of the other?
So he said, philosophically, I always rejected the notion that an agent can become a GM. Boris adds, I've never talked to Brody Van Wagenen in my life. He says he meets with the Mets to negotiate this winter. He can talk to the Wilpons or other staffers. What a slap in the face of the new GM of the Mets. My God. Who isn't, like, dumping on him? Francesa shredded the guy and basically mocked him when he got the job, right? And then now this guy's making fun of him. Boris won't even talk to him. And I'm sure the guy's like, who cares? I don't need to talk to you. Actually, you do.
He's a front man.
Did he really come out and say that Thor and DeGrom aren't safe? Is this guy nuts?
I didn't hear him do that one.
He said that they're no longer boys and that, you know, this is business now and everybody's applicable in this. You know, we'll talk
well, I
about
mean, he
we'll
should
talk
say that,
anyone.
I guess, because he's not their agent anymore. He's not. It's a fine line now that's got to be drawn. I hope he feels that way about Tebow, too.
Boris asked about the Yankees' suggestion that Bryce Harper wouldn't be a fit. They said that about Teixeira, too, like Carver Hyatt said. Speculation, though, that he's going to be a Yankee. It's not happening. He's not going to be a Yankee.
And then he wasn't even done there. Then he started getting into how Bryce would be just fine at first base because of how the angles and the movement. So he started pushing him to play first base for the Yankees today, too. He had that one all lined up also.
Really?
Nothing like pushing a guy who you want to make, you know, $400 million to change positions. You know, completely changed positions. I'm not talking, you know, third base
well,
to shortstop
here. Well,
because
he knows he's got Judge and Stanton
well,
and all
he knows
these
that
guys.
He can't sell him as an outfielder to the Yankees. He just can't. So that's why he started talking today about, well, you know, I think he could make a transition to first base.
I would take him over that Bird.
Well, he's just saying that.
Or that other fat kid they had in there.
He was good. Luke Voit.
He's just saying that because without the Yankees, the market goes down considerably for him. The money drops. I mean, we saw that with J.D. Martinez with, you know, teams like the Yankees not interested in him, gets like a really terrible deal for a guy who had an incredible season for the Red Sox.
Top trade packages to land Madison Bumgarner. Do you believe that the Giants would trade him? The teams that they're saying possibly are the Diamondbacks, Brewers, Astros, Braves, Yankees, of course. Why is it that everybody thinks they're going to trade Madison Bumgarner? You think they're done with him, end of the road in the Bay Area?
I mean, we don't know what's going to do with the new guy coming in there from the Dodgers. I guess it could be a complete
If they got Barry Bonds, you don't think they would go after Bryce Harper, the San Francisco Giants?
I'm sure that they have the money for it. They usually do out there.
They definitely do out there. The Lakers beat the T-Wolves 114-110. Mafia, I forget. Was that number 4.5?
5.5, I believe.
So the Lakers were favored by 5.5?
They were, yeah.
Really? It was 5.5?
Yeah, look at that.
Isn't it bizarre seeing Jimmy Butler playing with the T-Wolves? I just like
considering how much they hate each other.
How is he even out there playing?
So these are scores. So there's nothing for tonight. Is that what everybody's telling me? I got to look at this. Here we go. It was 6.
So it was 5.5 this morning, and they got up to 6, I guess, by game time.
But what did I do?
5.5.
Oh, I laid it?
Yeah, you laid it.
And they didn't cover. Yeah, I thought it'd be like 2 points. It was 6. I cannot believe they were laying 6. They won by 4. By the way, Toronto was laying 9, and Sacramento covered.
Is that the first national TV game that Lakers had that they won?
It pushed at 9. I guess. I don't know. I mean, if it's the first national TV game that they've won.
Seems like every time they put them on national TV, they get smacked by somebody.
Well, it's just like, you know, I'd love to see their track record of what they've been doing in terms of, you know, winning and losing. We got another hour to go. Here's their numbers. I get just in terms of who they've been playing and everything like that. So they won tonight, but they, you know, lose, win. They won 2 in a row when they beat the Mavs and Blazers. They lost 2 in a row with T-Wolves, Spurs. Won 2 in a row, Nuggets, Suns. So it's like win-lose, win-win, lose-lose, win-win, lose-lose. They win tonight, though. They beat Butler and the T-Wolves at Staples.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.